Hi there, and thank you again for watching or listening to VIP Boxing's Bell to Bell podcast. We're on episode 191. John Evans is my co-presenter, the Stacks man. He'll know how many minutes you've listened to us over the last three, four years. John's all with me as always. Thanks for joining us, John. You okay, mate?
I'm good. The main man's here today.
Yeah, there you go. It needs no introduction. Mr. Stephen Wood. Stephen M. Wood, I think it is, actually.
I've told you before, just call me Ollie Solskjaer, the super sub. So,
you weren't a sub. We were all trying to get the right time. And this morning, our producer, Darren, said, Steve would have been good tonight. He's not been on since February. Just don't. There's no super sub. There's no Ollie Gunnar about this tonight.
Right. Well, let's crack on with it, boys.
All right. Well, I know you've got a dash off speech. You said that earlier, I believe. Don't need any more introductions. John, have you got your watch, your bell, and everything ready?
All ready to go.
Round one, John. Local heroes. Callum Simpson and Fabio Wardley.
Yeah, I was over at Barnsley at weekend. Callum Simpson winning the European title, and 200 miles down the road, we had Fabio Wardley, both of them selling out stadiums. Unbelievable. So we've got Fabio Wardley, who was just a local guy who took up white-collar boxing. Callum Simpson, nothing much expected of him, a reasonable prospect. Both selling more than 15,000 tickets. And it just goes, Steve's had it with Josh Warrington. It just goes to show, there's no tried and tested method for bringing kids through and turning them into big stars, is there? You know, we get these Olympians turning over with all the hype and all the promotion and being looked after. And I can't think of one apart from Joshua who's really connected with the fans. These people who are in the local communities, who everybody knows, who if you don't really change from day one, they're the guys who the fans follow. You'd never know. You never know who's going to walk through the gym doors, do you, Steve? You're never going to know who's going to crop up on one of your shows. Next guy who turns up in an eight-rounder could end up selling out a stadium. And that's what I love about boxing and these small hall shows. You never know who's coming.
I think you've got to look at it at the football base, haven't you? You know, like, if it was a rugby club or a cricket club or something like that, they wouldn't follow the boxers like they do. But, you know, I think Josh and certainly Callum have connected with the local area through the football clubs. And, you know, like, Josh and Callum both fought on my shows and they weren't prolific ticket sellers at all. But once they've connected with a club, and to be fair, because they're both clever guys, which is unusual in boxing, is it? And a menial and worked hard and knew what they had to do to get the following. The football route is the way to do it. I'm not too sure how that's happened with Fabio down there in Ipswich, but I'm presuming it's very much the same.
Yeah, but he's just jumped on the Ipswich bandwagon. I used to say I was a Man United fan, but there you go, by the by. Anyway, but you know what? The football's right. Also, what can never be underestimated, fellas, I don't think, and I think you'll appreciate this definitely, isn't Steve? The database these football clubs have. You know, even a club like Barnsley in League One, they'll have a massive database because of where they've been for the last 15, 20 years. They've been in the Premier League briefly and look, mainly a championship club over the last few years. The database these football clubs have, they have full-time PR teams in them clubs who can sell these events. And how Callum Simpson did it brilliantly was going to Barnsley Market and giving the tickets out personally. It made people feel they're part of the event. It was Hattonette. It's almost if we've got, you know, I know Callum because he gave me my ticket and he says hello. They've done it. The Boxer and Sky sold that show brilliantly.
Yeah, and I think what you've got to remember as well, it's connecting with clubs. Let's go back to Man City with Ricky Hatton. They weren't winning anything at the time. They wanted some success. And I think Barnsley's in that position. Leeds were in that position. So it's good to get a club where they're looking for success. And Ipswich just had a terrible year, haven't they? So they're looking for success. I mean, the way things are going now, we just need someone with Man United, don't we?
Don't worry about that. That ain't happening for a few years. You might get a boxer. Round two, Woody. You spoke well then. You overran the clock, so John will be a bit disappointed in you. But Zelfa Barrett, your opinion, Steve. Come back in Christian Bielma on Saturday. look, nothing in the fight, and then the dramatic ending.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Mizelfa, I think it wasn't just to say he's come back from the loss to Jazza Dickens with a win, and then he's moved up to lightweight, and obviously he's looking for an opportunity there. I just wanted to say how hard it is, this boxing, and people haven't got a clue who'll be looking in. They're probably thinking that Self was making fortunes on Saturday night and make fortunes before. They need to understand how hard it is. And I'm going to click that into the Dillian White one when we speak about that in a bit. And obviously, I can mention Brad Ray. You know, this year, he had his fight in Saudi, which fell through. And all his fans had booked to go to Saudi, about 40 of them. And he felt like he should go because they were going. He couldn't get the tickets back. So even though he wasn't fighting, he had to pay to go to Saudi and pay for his hotel. And then he got some tickets for the show, which we thought would be complimentary, but he had to pay for them as well. And, you know, like, it's hard. He did the same in London. He went to London. He was down there for 3 days. On the day of the show, the kid pulled out. He never got a tap. And his fans have got the train to London, paid hotels, not seen him. The other day, it looked like the Ireland show was off and he's going to lose another fight, but they managed to save that and put it on one of our shows in Hull on the same night, 28th of June. But he's had fans again pay for 100 to pay flights to Ireland and the hotels. So not just bad on the fighters, it's bad on the fans. And like going back with Zelfa, you know, he's been a pro, 11 years, spent four years on the circuits with me and Pat, earning next no money, managed to get on TV, took ages and ages, only one fight in 2020, and then obviously that was COVID, 3 2021, 2 in 2022, which one was a world title and well paid. He come back with a decent though, but then he was dropped money-wise, dropped again, 1-1, lost to Jazza Dickens. They're coming back to Manchester 5th of July. No room for him. Now we're rebuilding again. And it's like, it's so hard for these boxers, and people don't understand. And I just wanted to make that point. And again, things do come good if you keep going. And obviously, he's going to keep going.
Just one quick question. I know we've overrun here, Steve. What's going to happen with Zelfa next then? When's he going to get out? Because yourself and your, you know, 11-11 VIP and 11-11 management can't keep bankrolling these fights, because obviously I know the cost of them because I was involved in it and bringing the opponent in.
Listen, at 31, he's got to be active and ready for an opportunity, because we have so many people who are inactive. And, you know, like, I'm not saying it was why he lost against Jazza Dickens, but I think he was out for something like 10 months on that one. And, you know, it is what it is. If Matchroom can't keep him busy, we've got to have a look for other opportunities elsewhere, or we'll have to dig in our pockets to keep him going.
Like you did with Bradley Ray, and hopefully it'll pay off. Yeah. Round three, war's not bores. There'll be no more no more running in Riyadh if Turkey Alashag has his way. I suppose he made this comment today about no more Tom and Jerry boxers. But he pays the money. He can say what he wants, really. I mean, I've seen Eddie with an interview. Basically, he says he does what he wants. He makes all the decisions, even though himself and Queensbury might be the promoters of shows. You can't manufacture what a boxer does in the ring on the night, what the opponent brings, you know, no matter how much he wants it. You know, I mean, what does he define as Tom and Jerry boxing? You couldn't define Leonard Hagler as that, could you? Is he all about, you know, I just don't see how he can get what he wants out of this, because, you know, that means he's not going to have Shaq or Stevenson, I still think, on any shows. And sometimes, you know, okay, I get what he's saying. I think sometimes you might be having these Tom and Jerry fights, as he calls them, and you're better off engaging. You need to engage, but I just don't think you can create what a fighter's going to do in a ring because of what he wants.
Well, I think if you've got a good matchmaker, they'll have a good idea of what styles and what fights can blend and make an entertaining fight. So what I always say is, if you're getting paid the money that he's paying, you've got to take these fights that you wouldn't do on others, because obviously people avoid each other and they're not earning. But when they're earning big dough like that, they've got to take them. So I think if you get the right matchmaker, they can make them fights.
John?
I reckon he's sort of maybe worded it wrong. I think he's annoyed that these people are getting paid so much money and then showing no ambition to perform well. You know, if you look at that show in New York, that got all the hype in the world. The world was watching that because it looked so spectacular. Not one of them tried a tap. Maybe Tiafimo was good, but Tiafimo wasn't great that night. And it just looked like they've been spoiled by so, you know, the paydays they've been getting. Maybe he was saying, look, if you're going to be on the shows, you've got to try. You've got to do something. Because Devin Haney and Shakur Stevenson are never going to hold their feet in the middle of a ring and fight. And I don't want to see that because it's not what they're good at. But they've got to show more willing and more effort and more determination than we showed in New York the other week. They've got to.
Yeah, it was I was thinking when he come up with that, but I think maybe the comment he made, I think he put it on Twitter or whatever, was taken maybe even out of context. I just thought he just, you know, he's almost, he cannot create what a boxer's going to do in the ring.
No, because if you like better be Evan Bivol in that first fight, that's one of the best fights we've seen. Bivol was never going to hold his feet and stand with Beterbiev. You know, he had to move. Do you call that Tom and Jerry boxing?
Yeah.
Don't, do you?
Round four, your final topic, John, the talk of Deontay Wilder and Dave Allen.
Yeah, interested to see Steve this because we've seen these rumours about Dave Allen getting a shot with Deontay Wilder. From a matchmaking and management point of view, it's brilliant, isn't it, for Dave? It's brilliant. You know, he gets this one of the most famous fighters in the world who's past his best but has still got that name value. From a fan's point of view, I don't want to see that.
No.
I don't want to see a shot version of Wilder being mauled by Dave Allen. And as good as Dave is, he's a good lad. It wouldn't be a proper win. You know, he's not beaten Deontay Wilder. He's beat someone with Deontay Wilder's name. But from Steve's point of view, you'd love that fight, wouldn't you? You know, what an opportunity there. Well, so how do you weigh up, Steve?
Rich, what, Woody or me? To me, oh, I love this.
But the man who, I was going to say the man who looks after the fighters, but you both do that. But Woody. Yeah.
Woody, go on, mate.
You know what? First and foremost, I'm a fan of boxing, and like you've loved Deontay Wilder, haven't you? And, you know, whatever sport they are, people get past it, don't you? And he's past it. And to be fair, maybe 3 years ago, you'd be cringing at that fight, wouldn't you, thinking that Dave's going to get seriously hurt? Now, we're not far off saying he's going to be the favourite against him, and it's awful. And, you know, bringing these people out on the wheelchairs and rolling them in when they're not where they are, it's not for me. It's a misfit fight, that, and, you know, we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, you know what? Business wise, you get a pat on the back from the promoter if you pull that together and you did the deal, because it's business and it makes money. But I still make Wilder the favourite. I mean, we've got to realise the level that Dave's been winning at still, and you know, and drawing, or you know, the controversy against Johnny Fisher, or the loss and the win. But what I find quite cynical about it all, promoters, you know, who have been involved in this fight would have been the first to say Dave Allen should retire a few years ago when they were worried about his health. I mean, that's the cynical side of boxing. But if you're a matchmaker and you go and make this fight, you'll get a hero gram off the promoter, because everyone's going to make money out of it, and the TV broadcast is going to be excited by the fight. And you can imagine what the press conference will be like. They'll be lively. But as a boxing fan, no, it's not for me.
No. I just like meaningful fights. I like fights that have got repercussions for the winner and loser. And I don't know what Dave would get a name on his record, but Wilder may as well be retired. And what had Wilder get from it? You know, he's beating Dave Allen doesn't do anything. So I don't see any effect it has on the heavyweight division, that fight. And
if you worry about Dave's health, if he wins the fight, what would that lead into? Anyway, yeah. Round five, we'll keep it on the heavyweight theme. Moses Itamar, Dillian Whyteside, Wood.
Yeah, it's about Dillian, and then we'll lead into that fight, because it links back to what I was saying about Zelfel, about how hard it is for boxers, and you've got to keep going and keep going and not give up. And Dillian White, starting in 2011, he was on one of our VIP shows in Hull on a ticket deal 2014. Next thing you know, he's got the crack with Joshua in 2015, won a world title in 2019, didn't fight 1 fight, 2020, 21, one fight. Then 2022, he got the massive payday with Tyson Fury. And rumours are it's about 8 million or something like that. And obviously he's made up since there. He retired in 23, never fought, come back, and now he's going to get a good fight with this Moses Atua. And my question to you two, I've got my own opinion on it, is like, has he become a stepping stone? Has he stayed in too long? Where is his stepping stone? Or has he got a chance?
He's got, look, from what we've seen of Atua, I'd say he's got no chance, and it's a stepping stone. It's one of those. If we're looking for someone to give Atua rounds, and there's lesser fighters than Dillian, who Dillian may well beat out there, who would give him more rounds. He's in the wall through Dillian. And I don't see what it does for Moses' career, apart from he beats a name, but it's not going to advance him on any further, I don't think, beating, you know, a Dillian White. God, how long has he been around now? I remember him fighting 2011 on Maloney shows. And I remember you... I didn't know it was on VIP, Steve, or a show. I didn't know that. But I don't see what there is in it for Atua, apart from beating the name. But, and get, you know, what he will get is what Turkey Ala Sheikh wants, is possibly a highlight reel KO. John?
Yeah, well... This is sort of like a lesser version of Allen and Wilder, isn't it? I think Dillian's got a little bit more left, and Atua is going right to the top. But what this does, it introduces Atua to the casual fans, doesn't it? You know, everybody knows Dillian White. The hype before this fight's going to be crazy. Dillian's going to talk. Everyone's going to watch because it's Dillian White. And if Atua does what we all expect and takes him out cleaner than anybody else has done, suddenly Atua genuinely is a big name rather than just a name all those boxing fans like. I think this one is a good piece of matchmaking. Itama's not getting beat anytime soon. So this is like the fight that takes him to the next level in terms of getting people to watch, I think.
Right. So you don't think Dillian can actually hit him then? Is that what we're saying?
I think
he cleaned out. Sixth and final round. What's next for a boxer? Contract ended with Sky last week, whatever reason it did. I just wonder what's for them now, because they've got good, you know, they've got fighters, Adam Azim, Callum Simpson, Chris Eubank Jr. is with him, but it seems it's mapped out for him to fight Conor Benn again. I don't know if that fight will be on Sky pay-per-view, because that's the platform people go to for pay-per-view, but I just wonder what future there is for him. You know, I mean, it's speculation they're going to end up on DAZN with some sort of a deal. Speculation that Sky might have offered him a couple of dates, but that there's nothing. Is there a future for him? I mean, I thought Eddie Hearn was right what he said. A couple of people said, oh, yeah, how arrogant Eddie was being. But what boxer had to follow at Sky was phenomenal. What Matchroom had done there over the years, you know, built pay-per-view stars on it. You know, that's where maybe Ben and the boxer team haven't done, built a pay-per-view star through the Sky platform like Eddie did. And it was a hard act to follow. I just wonder if they can, you know, grow and get on DAZN maybe and stay in the mainstream as promoters. Steve, as a promoter, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, I just think it was too early for Ben to get that contract. I don't think Sky really did the due diligence on it, and no fault of his own, he's going to accept it, isn't he? And, you know, Eddie had done really well, but the platform had helped him, and, you know, I don't think there's any better platform than Sky. So I think if they still keep going and they could give it a chance and it's the right person, they can get Sky back to the number one again. You know, I just think Sky's fantastic, and he's just been let to slip. And like Ben, you know, he didn't really know anyone in boxing. He didn't have any contacts. He didn't have any boxers. So he's starting from the scratch and against people who will be like not helping, you know, and that's a difficult situation, isn't it? But, you know, he's only young. He's not got like a great TV personality. He doesn't manage people well. And his accounts have just come out from last year, and he obviously can't manage money either. So whoever takes him on is going to take a big risk on, aren't they? And, you know, I think he's in a poor position to move on, because the contracts that he's got, and I've been told by numerous people how much he's paying people, and that's how it right to try and poach people off Eddie and Frank Warren when he started. He had to pay over the odds, but you know, I think he's paid a bit too much over the odds. So it's like, you know, who's going to give him that money to keep him going?
John, before we wrap up.
Yeah. Well, it depends who the fighter's contracts are with, because I think he's got the second most amount of stars in British boxing. You know, if you look down the list there, some of the names he's got, people like Azeem and Whitaker and Clark, the big names. But you hear rumours that the contracts are with Sky rather than Boxer. I don't know anything about any of that. But if they are with Boxer, then someone's going to take a chance because he's got so many big names and so many promising youngsters. But it's like you said, Steve, it probably all came too early. And just now, when he's got these names who can carry shows, the contract's up and he's looking for something else. So it'd be interesting to see who the contracts are with. But if the contracts are with Boxer, he'll definitely get a deal somewhere along the lines.
Yeah. All right. Fellas, thanks very much for joining us. Thanks, Woody. And you weren't off the subs this week, despite what you say. John, thanks as always. Thanks, everyone, for watching or listening. And I saw that. I can see that look. I might be a few couple thousand miles away, Woody, but I can still see that look thinking he's talking bollocks there, but you weren't a sub. And that's it. I'm not having it. You're not a sub anymore.
Journalist, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Okay. Hey, you know what? That was one of the first things you taught, mate, when you go on a red top. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. But anyway, thank you. Thanks to you too. Thanks everyone for watching or listening. Episode 192 next week. Thank you.
Cheers.